For more of the Chinese Radio Network, go to the CRN section on AM 1240 WGBB.com.
Welcome to the Everything Lydia Radio Show, where you're challenged to check your ordinary at the door and live a more remarkable life. Your host, Lydia Shefanowski, does it all. She's a lawyer, a black belt, philanthropist, and a beauty queen who is working for you. And you can hear just about everything and anything on the Everything Lydia Radio Show, from politics to pocketbooks, every Wednesday night at 6:30, only on WGBB 1240 AM or online at www.am1240wgbb.com. Now, your host, Lydia.
And greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Everything Lydia Radio Show. I am your host, Lydia Shepanuski, and tonight we're going to learn everything and anything you ever wanted to know about cellulite and how to get rid of it permanently. And joining me tonight to discuss this topic is someone who received his medical degree from New York Medical College and completed his residency training at Lenox Hill Hospital and Mount Sinai Hospital in New York. He then went on to complete a fellowship in microsurgery at the University of Louisville, and then for several years he worked as a researcher for laser, skin care, and liposuction companies. He's been a plastic surgeon and otolaryngologist for 32 years, treating patients from all over the U.S. and indeed throughout the world. My guest's passion for his craft has also led to his position as a pioneer in the techniques of minimal incision cosmetic or endoscopic surgery of the brow and breast, and he has been published in various peer-reviewed scientific journals and is the author, co-author of several peer-reviewed scientific articles. My guest has been listed by Castle Connolly as one of the best plastic surgeons in New York and was also identified as one of New York's best plastic surgeons in New York Magazine, and the New York Times has featured him as one of its super docs of New York. He has been listed in Who's Who in America and has been a preceptor for the Cosmetic Surgery Fellowship at Lenox Hill Hospital and Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat Hospital. And he is frequently interviewed about cosmetic surgery by reporters, journalists, and print, television. And as a Greek American, he speaks Greek and also is fluent in Spanish, which is great with his clients. My guest this evening is Dr. Theo Dictabin. Welcome, Doctor, to the Everything Lydia Radio Show.
Oh, thank you, Lydia, for that wonderful introduction.
Well, I have to tell you, there was plenty more, but I had to limit it to what I thought was really focusing on the important part. So okay, thank you so much for joining me. I know that you're a very, very busy man, but we're going to talk about something that my research disclosed affects over 90% of all women. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And it's that bumpy, gross stuff that is usually found on the back of women's thighs, on their stomachs, and on their butt. And yes, it's cellulite, right?
That is correct.
So, okay, let's start with the basics. Why don't you tell everyone exactly what cellulite is, because many people don't know, and why is it that so many women have it?
It's an anatomical arrangement that has even been shown, even in fetuses, mm-hmm. when they grow up, and then there's the hormonal stimulation going from a male or going in the direction of a female, they're able to see that the fat compartments differentiate themselves mm-hmm. in a different way for those who have cellulite and those that don't. So we've known the anatomy for several years. The question was, how do you get to it? How do you get to the target and change the playing field? Mm-hmm. And so basically the anatomy is really three components. The overlying skin in that area is thin, so anything under the surface is going to show. The fat compartments are not held beneath the skin into individual compartments because these crisscrossing bands that are noted in people who don't have cellulite hold the fat beneath the skin into nice little compartments, whereas those people with cellulite mm-hmm. those little bands in the skin that run from the skin through the fat to the deeper tissues are oriented in a parallel fashion, which allows the fat to bulge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and that can take place in women, and I've seen it frequently. It is not necessarily women who are overweight. It can be most of the women right now that have come in for cellulite have been either thin to moderate size women. So a lot of people think, oh, if you just lose weight, it's going to get better. I've seen it with women that are in excellent tip-top shape, thin as can be, nowhere near the candidate for liposuction that would benefit from cellulite.
Mm-hmm.
The other part that causes the dimpling are those little bands, and we're not sure why they contract and pull in and give you the dimpling. And most of the patients I've seen, it's really the dimpling more than the bulging fat that really drives women crazy. So in the past, up until really the FDA approval early this year with cellulase, was that everything we did was pretty much done from the outside.
Right. Well, you know, you actually answered a couple of my questions, because first and foremost, I wanted to point out exactly what you said. There are so many women out there that are not overweight, and they're thin or they're fit, and they just have those trouble areas. Not me, of course, because, you know, that.
We know you're in good shape.
I'm just kidding. But my follow-up question was, and I think you sort of answered it, is it a genetic component? Like, why do some women, or I should say, why are some women predisposed and some aren't? And is it genetic, or is it something else? Is it or some other answer? I don't know.
Most of it is genetic, by far.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take place with men, except if men are hormonally deficient, which is extremely rare. So genetics definitely plays a part. It can happen in women, let's say, without the genetic predisposition, but women, let's say, that are overweight, yes, because in some of those women, when they gain a certain amount of weight, they may trigger the fat cells either to get larger or to multiply in number. So that can then push up against the skin and give you the bulges. So most of it, yes, is genetic. It's not something that's really going to be influenced at all by diet, exercise, and race. So yes, it tends to be, unfortunately, an attribute associated with women.
And this is a bad analogy, but when you're talking and you're describing the crisscross bands and kind of the layers, and I keep thinking of, you know, the bags that you get your produce in sometimes, and they have like the holes in them, and it's kind of like a mesh almost, and I can only imagine if you try to push things through them, it makes bumps and ripples and things like that. It could be a horrible analogy, but that's just what's in my mind right now. So all right, so is cellulite preventable in any way? Is there anything women can do to help prevent cellulite?
For those that stay in shape and don't gain weight, that's one way to prevent it from happening. But if you have the genetic predisposition, then you're not really going to be able to prevent it.
Okay. Now, you had mentioned earlier that it's been forever and always that I've seen cellulite creams, I've seen or heard of different treatments, you know, massage treatments, you know, wraps, all kinds of stuff that you go to. Now, tell us a little bit about these and why. I'm assuming you're going to say they don't work. Is that correct?
Correct for $100. They do not work. If they work, the big if, and I don't think anyone's going to refute it, if they work, it's only going to be temporary at best.
Okay.
For various reasons. The lotions and the potions are not really going to be able to penetrate enough to get in and really change the anatomy. The machinery that you get at, you know, at many spas and even other doctors' offices, they're really capitalizing on heating the skin, a little form of suction and a massage of the skin and the fat. You really can't heat the skin enough to get the skin to tighten sufficiently and to thicken, because in order to generate that much heat from the outside, patients will be extremely uncomfortable, number one, and you possibly run the risk of a skin burn, number two. You wouldn't be able to massage the fat that well to effectively really reduce it enough. But the real key is from the outside trying to get in. There's no way in the world you're going to be able to disrupt those connective tissue bands that have shortened and caused the dimpling. The only way to do that is you really got to go directly under the skin, and that's where cellulase is considered minimally invasive. I never like the word invasive. It just has a very harsh meaning, but it's minimally invasive, and basically you're putting a thin layer of local anesthesia under the skin. Everything's done right under the skin.
Okay.
So you need to numb up the skin for various reasons. Decrease the bruising, decrease the swelling, provide an absorptive fluid medium, because you're going to be heating tissues, so you want to be able to heat things up but also cool it down with the fluid. And then allow this laser fiber, which if you look at the fiber, it's like it's smaller than the size of angel hair pasta. It's something really small. And then basically you go in and you heat up the areas in a certain pattern. We mark out everything in terms of red we do for dimples, green we do for the bulges, and everything fits into a grid, which basically comes down to a 2-inch by 2-inch square. So you have to give a certain amount of energy. But the key to the technology is a couple of things. The company came up with a wavelength that has a very, very high affinity for fat, so that's great for melting the fat. And it also has a high affinity for water, and that's what's in our skin. Most of our skin is made up, it's hydrated by water. And the fiber doesn't shoot straight ahead like most lasers. They came up with a laser fiber that can shoot to the side. Once you're under the skin, if you've got bulging fat, you take the laser, and it has a guide so you know which end is up. You aim it down, you melt the fat. If you have those bands that are pulling in and you want to basically release them, you aim sideways and you go back and forth, and with the heat and the laser, you cut the band so that the skin that's being pulled in can be released and become a flatter surface. And then you can finally, then you aim the laser up against the skin to thicken it and to tighten it. And that's basically the procedure.
Fascinating. So there's so that I understand it, the laser itself is a small, like you mentioned, fiber, very small.
And very small fiber.
You make a very tiny, I guess, like almost a pinpoint incision in wherever the treatment area is going to be. This is after, of course, you've already marked up the area with, I think we've all seen, you know, when they take, when plastic surgeons such as yourself take a marker and a pen or whatever, and you, I guess in this instance you're using color so that you're going to be able to know exactly where you're sculpting, where the laser is going to be guided, how far in, and depending on the, I guess, the direction kind of, and please forgive me if I'm kind of not saying
it
correctly.
No, you're being very accurate.
It's good, right?
Yeah,
but
no,
you can, you
stuff.
Can either, so the fibers, when they're being pulled down, it's actually causing the skin to, I'll use the word dimple. So if you're able to use that laser to release that fiber, it's almost like it pops up and it goes back to its normal shape again, correct?
That, what you're doing is exactly correct. What you're doing, you're really playing with hills, valleys, and thin skin.
Well, it's,
you want to lower the hills. You want to cut the band so that the valleys are no longer depressed. And then you want to thicken the skin as much as you can, so that the skin will be tighter and thicker and hold everything in place.
Wow, so you're like an artiste. You're sculpting.
Yeah,
you really are sculpting.
You know, it's a form of sculpting. It's a different form of sculpting. It's really kind of like surface topography.
Mm-hmm.
You know, liposuction is going to be dealing with more bulges, and liposuction works at a deeper level from the skin.
Mm-hmm.
But this is really literally you're right above the skin, and the laser has an aiming light,
mm-hmm.
so you're able to see exactly where you are with respect to each square, and basically you can tell to what depth you're at.
So you're actually melting the fat and releasing the fibers and tightening the skin.
Lydia, that's the procedure. That's exactly what it is, and this is the first and only machinery that allows us to do that, because with cellulite, in all honesty, to me it was something that really wasn't well treated.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's something that we can treat. One treatment, it's not going to be the magic eraser. You know, it's not like you're going to get rid of all of it, but there's marked improvement. It does take time to show up. It's not going to be an instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
But I've noticed that the patients have been very comfortable. I do it in the office. I do it in an exam room. They've been very comfortable for the administration of the fluid. The aftercare was, I kept telling myself, okay, what's the aftercare going to be in comparison to liposuction? Are they going to be better?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to be more sore? Are they going to be more bruised? It turns out the swelling has been really minimal, so that's been good.
Right.
Black and blue is pretty much, and working at the surface, figuring you'd see more black and blue, that also hasn't been that much of a problem at all. So I said, okay, now what about sensitivity? Because we're working close to the skin surface. I said, are people going to have more pins and needles in that area? Are they going to be more painful? In general, people are taking pretty much no more than, because I've been really monitoring them,
mm-hmm.
no more than maybe one, maybe two painkillers a day. In general, most are either taking none to one, and then a few people, just because they were a little bit more anxious, they were taking maybe two a day. So that part's been good. And then once you get out a couple of weeks, then I have the massage, because there are going to be some surface, you know, swellings that need to be ironed out, and they just massage it, something like even like a little rolling pin or something that they can roll on their thigh. It's almost like those styrofoam rolls that you get at the gym where people use,
yes.
to kind of stretch out their, like, their outer mm-hmm. thigh or
right.
or their buttock area. It's the same thing. We just tell them, start rolling, and those contour regularities, which are superficial, will usually flatten out with time.
Okay. So let's say I had this procedure performed. When am I able to go back to my daily routine and functions or work or anything like that?
I mean, in terms of comfort level, I mean, there's not that much drainage, because you're not doing that much like you do with liposuction. So whatever little drainage there is stops the next day.
Mm-hmm.
You can take a shower the next day. You do wear a garment, usually for a minimum of 2 weeks. Exercise, depending on the intensity.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something like a treadmill, Stairmaster, stationary bicycle, you can probably even start that as early as 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
There might be some sensitivity, like if you're sitting on a bicycle seat, there might, and I've done the buttocks or the thighs, there could be some sensitivity. If it's the front of the thighs, then that's a very forgiving area, because you really don't put much pressure on the front of your thighs unless you're kind of like, you know, laying on your tummy.
Right.
What else?
Are there sutures involved at all?
Yeah, most of the time I don't suture them. The pinpoint access mm-hmm. is smaller than my regular liposuction. So most of the time I don't drain them unless it's a more visible area, then I will put a couple of stitches.
Okay. Now, this cellulase treatment can be, obviously, we were talking about, or at least I thought we were talking about, the buttocks and the back of the legs. Can it be used elsewhere?
Right now, it's the buttocks, back of the thighs, the outer thighs, and the front. Pretty much anywhere on the thighs
mm-hmm.
is really going to be areas for liposuction. But now that it's been out in the media, you know where I'm finding a few people coming in? Your upper arm, on the outside of your upper arm. It's usually a very superficial contour regularity, but women are very, you know, very careful about how they look at themselves. So I've had a few women come in and say, hey, doc, what about the other, you know, the outer arm? I have a little bit of that puckering. It's usually not as significant as you get on the thighs, but, you know, pretty much wherever you have fat and that anatomical arrangement, you know, you can basically address it, because it's not a problem with the fiber. The fiber is so small, it can go anywhere.
Right.
Now, as long as you... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, we're talking about different parts of the body, so this is FDA approved for those areas that you had just discussed earlier. However, can it, do you use it for the arms and things like
that? Oh, I have.
Oh, okay.
I've used it a bunch of times already,
Okay. So it will work anywhere, basically.
I've done pretty much circumferential thighs, arms, and just a couple of abdomens.
Wow. Now,
I'm
very impressed, I have to tell you, because you're explaining it so well, and I'm visualizing exactly what this is doing, and it sounds so logical, and it really makes sense. And I think with laser technology nowadays, and these, microfibers, if that's what you call them, these lasers, it's incredible what you, as a plastic surgeon, are able to do. It's just amazing. Now, I've heard the phrase smart technology when used in promoting cellulase. What exactly is smart technology?
Right now, I mean, that's one of the buzzwords that, you know, you hear in all advertising: smartphone, smart car, smart lipo. So it's really a reflection. It really connotes that it's cutting edge, present day, you know, trends. I mean, I think in this particular case, it is pretty smart in the way they came up with this. It's a present-day technology. Phrase, like I said, smart cars.
Right.
Smart lipo.
Right.
So everyone's capitalizing on the smart. Eventually, maybe we'll have, you know, stupid lipo. Or
Well, I think maybe the old ones are now considered that. But all right, so the big question of the day is, what's the approximate cost of a procedure like this?
In general, we're going by, because what happens is for each square, each like 2 inch by 2 inch square, there's a given amount of energy that you're supposed to deliver to that particular square. And the machine will do it in just a certain amount. It basically imparts the energy at its own pace. So depending on how many squares you need to have done, will dictate the price. So in general, you know, we kind of go small, medium, and large.
Right.
So it really can vary depending, once again, on the depth and the volume of the cellulite. Now, it's hard to give a price, but
how about a range?
In general, I mean, I've heard people doing it as low as maybe $4,000. For a small little localized area, up as much as, depending, if you've got significant cellulite, multiple areas, it may go up as, you know, up to maybe $10,000.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough. That's, you don't know. Everyone's condition is going to be different, you know? So
I was talking to one of my, one of the people I know here in Manhattan that has a MediSpa. She offers one of the machines that works from the outside, and I just said to her, so what do you charge for, let's say, someone who's got cellulite of the buttock area? She goes, well, that's one area. Okay, so both buttocks are considered one area, so what do you charge? She says, roughly $400 an area. So, okay, fine, how many times do they have to come in? She says 8 to 12 times. So you take, let's say 10 times
right.
400,
yeah,
that's $4,000 for something. At best, it may be temporary.
Right.
So this has been proven in the literature that the results, one-time treatment, and all I do is give them a couple of Valiums, a couple of Percocets, And they've been very comfortable because I wanted them to be comfortable. You don't want to do something that's safe and effective and consistent unless they're comfortable. And they've all been fine.
Right. And it's permanent.
You know, they'll be talking to me.
Yeah.
They're able to turn and position their bodies. You know, they may listen to the music we have. They may bring their own iPod.
Wow.
And, no, that comfort level has been, you know, obviously makes it so much easier on all of us. And no, it's been a real game-changing technology for something that I've been dying, you know, to get my hands on. Obviously, the next one, the one that would be really, you know, a huge success story for everybody would be correction of stretch marks. Now, that's a tough one because that's where the fabric of the skin has been basically stretched out. That's a tough one. I'd be curious to see if any of the companies are on the horizon have something for stretch marks.
I'm sure that the laser is going to do something with that, right? It's definitely going to be laser.
Well, you can, if you have the red stretch marks, then, you know, then you might be able to get rid of the color and get them to fade to a little bit more lighter color, but you're not really going to be able to change, at least not now, and I don't see anything coming, but I'm always keeping, you know, my eyes and ears open for any changes, especially with stretch marks. But
Now, how long have you been performing this cellulase procedure?
It's been the last maybe 3 months now, 4 months.
Oh, so this is really cutting edge, brand new.
Yeah, it was just FDA approved, I think in January. All of us who get it, and I was one of the first, because I did some work for the company years ago with Smart Lipo. Mm-hmm. I was lucky enough to know it was coming, and I was approached by the company. Was I interested? And the answer was categorically yes. So I was one of the first to get trained, definitely in the New York area. Or even in the country at the same time. So I was able to get the machine because it was back ordered. So, yeah, we were lucky to, you know, get out of the gate real quick. I've been very happy with the, you know, the machinery, the support of the company. So, yeah, we pretty much got everything going, I guess, pretty much like around April maybe.
Wow. So
just in time for summer.
Right, right. Well, you know, you are a plastic surgeon, and what would you say to someone who wants to go because the price is a little less, to someone who perhaps isn't, you know, I don't even, gosh forbid they go to someone that's not a physician or doctor, but how do you feel about that, the qualifications of actually doing this type of procedure?
Well, I mean, look, I've had a lot of years of experience, and I know a lot of times, you know, in this state, a lot of people can take a weekend course and put their shingle up and call themselves, you know, a cosmetic surgeon. And legally, they're allowed to do that. You know, buyer should be buyer beware. Ask the right questions. You know, are you board certified? And in what specialty, whether it's plastic surgery or some of the other disciplines? I know the company right now is being very careful about who they sell the machine to. Mm-hmm. They realize, you know, that this has good energy. Everything is just under the surface, so they want to get off to a good start. So they want people who are experienced to have this technology. They don't want any bad press. They don't want complications. And I agree with them 100%. So, I mean, someone like me having experience with lipo going back to the 80s, and then, of course, picking up everything from ultrasound, power-assisted lipo, laser-assisted lipo. So I've watched the entire field of liposuction progress since really the 80s. That's when liposuction was introduced to this country.
Wow. Now, do you see this trend continuing to the point where the proverbial going under the knife will be a thing of the past?
You know what? I know that's been the trend. And the way I look at it, you think of, let's say, your skin as fabric. And I use the example repeatedly with my patients. If you have a pair of jeans that just don't fit, they're a little too big, what do? You wash them and you throw them in the dryer. Mm-hmm. You're trying to capitalize on heat to shrink the cotton fibers. A lot of the laser technologies, not just in cellulase, some of the other technologies are trying to use heat to contract the fibers. But once again, sometimes those genes shrink and you're happy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they just don't shrink enough.
Right.
And at that point, guess what? You have to go to the tailor. So in the hands, a healthy patient, in the hands of a good surgeon, still really works.
That's
unfortunately,
a great analogy.
It's true, but unfortunately, you see a lot of these shows where they're featuring, you know, actors and actresses coming out of Hollywood with results that I find most of the time suboptimal. Then there's all this exposure on the internet, which scares the living daylights out of most people.
Right.
So there's that trend to kind of go non-surgical.
Mm-hmm.
But the key to any result, whether it's surgical or non-surgical, is managing expectations. If you think, you know, this particular technology is going to replace, let's say, a facelift, and you have a lot of extra skin, and you've got a lot of skin in the neck,
mm-hmm.
there's no way in the world there's any technology that's going to change it. You need a facelift.
Right, right.
And
right.
I think, unfortunately, most of the public has been scared off from traditional good surgery when indicated.
Right. Well, that's because of, like you said, the results. Now, Dr. Dick Tabin, I do apologize, but we're running out of time, so
okay.
I want to make sure that if someone wants to get in touch with you for more information, for a consultation, or whatever they need, how can they do that?
The website, I'll give you the website, it's www.drdiktaban.com. The email address is info@drdiktaban.com. Let's see what
else.
My telephone number is 212-988-5656. And if any of your listeners are interested in the consultation, just mention your show. And make sure you tell them that they listen to your show, and consultation will be absolutely complimentary.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. I appreciate that. Dr. Dick Tabin, thank you so much for enlightening us and for filling us in on everything we ever wanted to know about not only cellulite, but cellulase, a new FDA-approved procedure, as well as plastic surgery. And thank you again, and I welcome you back hopefully in the near future. And to everyone out there, please tune in to the Everything Lydia Radio Show next week and every Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. right here on WGBB, 1240 a.m., or streaming live via webcam at www.am1240wgbb.com. And everyone, remember to go check your ordinary at the door and live that remarkable life. See ya!
Everything Lydia Radio Show every Wednesday night at 6:30 right here on WGBB, 1240 a.m. Have a legal question? Go online to AskLydiaTheLawyer.com. And to learn more about our host, Lydia Szczepanowski, or to hear a piece of tonight's show you might have missed, visit EverythingLydia.com. Thank you for joining us.